Blog Talk Radio.
Of course, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Want to welcome you to another Thursday night. As you know, we're on every week from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. All of our shows are available in the archives, so if you miss any part of the show or any of the other shows, you can go to the website and find out more about this show and the archives by going to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As you know, I want to start by saying thank you for all the great feedback we've been getting in from all around the world on the show and on the different segments and people that we have on. So thank you for writing in. And as you know, I've been kind of moving around the country. I was moving up East Coast of the United States, was out in Pennsylvania, and now I'm in the south of France for the end, you know, to the end of September. So just enjoying the weather here. It's interesting. It keeps on alternating between either very, very warm or very, very cold. So it's been an interesting experience, this being my first trip to France, and basically finding that I can survive on two French words, bonjour and merci beaucoup. So that basically has been getting me by pretty much everywhere I need to go. And it's surprising that with just a couple words that, you know, most of the time you don't have any problems anywhere. So with that, I want to just let everybody know that our friend Pam Latour, who is usually my co-host on Thursday nights, is not on tonight. She actually got sick and is getting some much-needed rest. As always, Pam has started her own radio show and her own radio network, and also comes back and appears on the Thursday night show with me. So we're really happy about the new show that Pam has. And if you want to find out more about her network, you can go to the Spiritual Connections website. So with that, I am going to go ahead and bring on our guest. Teal, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So Teal Scott is with us this evening, and if any of you have followed her material like I have, you're probably very familiar with Ask Teal and her series, and it is absolutely amazing. I got turned on to her material. We were actually covering this before the show started for a few minutes about how I started listening to her material up on YouTube probably about 4 months ago, and I've spent the last 4 months just constantly going through all her different videos, all her different lessons and everything that she teaches, and it's just incredible to see how much knowledge she brings forward from that. And I think, Teal, I think the numbers are what, about 40,000 subscribers and about 3 million views on all the different spiritual topics that you have up there.
I haven't checked. I make a major point of ignoring that kind of stuff.
It's interesting. I was actually watching a video on Ram Dass the other day, and he said one of the key things that the teachers used to teach in the ashrams is that anytime you try to take any ownership of something like that, you just got to back away because ego is so quickly to jump in and take credit for things, you know? So,
no, exactly. For sure. Yeah. That's the one to tell a lot of people when they're in the process of creating something is to let go of it as if it doesn't belong to you anymore.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna run through. I have a whole bunch of questions and a whole bunch of other stuff that I know a lot of the callers want to talk to you about and stuff like that. Let me go ahead and give out the number. We'll probably end up taking calls after the commercial break on the half hour. So I'm just going to go ahead and give out the telephone number for anybody who wants to call in and ask Teal a question. We're going to be taking calls on 646-716-9663. And we normally don't do that. As you know, most of the time on the Thursday night shows, we do not take callers. But there was some incredible feedback coming in from the posting on the website about having Teal on, and just a lot of people wanted to call in. So we'll see who can actually get through. I see a couple callers coming into the switchboard already, and I know that Blog Talk Radio, which is the foundation system we use for our radio network, is having some problems with their phone line, so that's always lots of fun. So with that, I'm just going to start off and just kind of run through a couple things that, you know, that kind of came to mind after watching. I was watching probably about an hour and a half interview with you today that I was catching off of YouTube, and absolutely loved the woman who was doing the interview. She was cute as far as the way she was asking the questions and everything. I forget what her name is, so I apologize for that. But one of the things that I find is very incredible about the amount of knowledge you have is that I had a chance to look at your website, and I guess the first question I have for you is, where is it that all your teaching came from?
Oh, isn't that like the loaded question? Well, in part, I would say three different places. So first part is that I came in with a lot of this knowledge, meaning that before we physically incarnate on this planet, the majority of souls who are incarnated here choose to switch off a portion of their genetics, which enables them to remember pre-birth. That just helps to, I call it going balls deep in the program. It sort of helps you to really hook into your individual perspective here and thus gain the most amount of expansion that you can out of it. But I chose to come in and not activate that portion of the DNA, which turns on that isolated perspective, meaning that I have memory from before coming into this life, memory from being in my mother's womb, memory from birth, and all the way up after that. And you'll actually, in this day and age, you're watching more and more children that are born with that same choice that I made. So we could consider myself and some others even older than me the forerunners of that particular choice. So that's the first part. The second part is, and of course, a lot of universal truth comes in when we don't shut off that perspective, which is basically one with source perspective, which is the united perspective of all that has ever been since the beginning of time, which of course we understand is the beginning. Second part is, I have obviously, by virtue of being extrasensory, I have access to multiple dimensions. So I am able to see and interact with guides and beings that are not isolated to the third dimensional reality. That also comes along with going out of body, which I can do. It's actually more difficult for me to be in physical body and focus physically than it is to be floating around in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and 11th dimension. And then, but I think by far the meat of what's really, really good about my teachings doesn't actually have to do with any of those things. It has to do with living here and observing. Obviously, by virtue of my childhood, I had a lot of interaction with extreme circumstances where I kind of grew up too fast, I guess you could say. And it got me really interested in figuring out the bigger questions, you know, especially what is it that creates happiness amongst the human species here on planet Earth. And so by virtue of my observation, I should say marrying my own observation, which is a series of trial and error with the information I came into this life with and the information that's coming in through multiple guides and entities, that is where my knowledge comes from.
Wow. Yeah. I can kind of validate that in a way because, I feel that I've come in with quite a bit of information also, but I've spent a lot of the last couple of years just studying with a number of spiritual leaders from around the world, also reading hundreds and hundreds of books on every area of spirituality and, you know, kind of dabbling in everything from mediumship to anything you can think of. And I know from watching all your videos and everything like that, your information is right on in like every different category you talk about. So it's just absolutely incredible to see that knowledge coming through, and that you represent, I think, a model that is so different from what's out there. And that is, there is this handful of individuals like yourself out there that are gifted, who actually come in with this knowledge and are naturally able to do that. And I'm always really impressed with people who can do that and who kind of stand back and say, you know what, I haven't been to the seminars and the conferences and all these different teachers and everything like that. And, you know, I've seen a lot of, like, my friend Lisa is a very good medium and she has no formal training at all. And mm-hmm. I have other friends that are, you know, fall into that same category that are just absolutely amazing at what they do with, you know, you would want to almost say, okay, so how long have you been studying mediumship and who have you been studying mediumship with? And they come back and say, well, no, I've never picked up a book. I've never studied with anybody. I just did it. So it just, it's really incredible to see.
This is something that I wrestle with actually quite a bit, because on one hand, I really enjoy people's perspective. Obviously, I would like to hear everybody's perspective, you know, most especially people who are teaching on the same kinds of subjects. But at the same time, I consider every being in existence, in essence, an artist, meaning that it is really what you intended to do before coming into this planet, to become an extension of your unique spirit. And so I feel as if study actually waters down the essence of who we are. It waters down our own art, which is why I tend to steer clear of trying to formally learn from anybody else.
Yeah, it's probably a very important lesson there. When did you first realize that you were gifted, or that you had these abilities? I think, you know, a lot of people ask me about my journey, and I tell them, well, I wish I was the one that could say, you know, I was seeing spirit when I was 4 years old and stuff like that. But for me, I really feel that the awakening, or the, you know, there's a lot of stuff in, looking back in my life that I can say was absolutely amazing. But to me, I only consider my spiritual journey to be like the last 3 or 4 years, but it seems to me that you were born gifted.
Yes. Yeah, but I didn't realize that I was gifted, quote unquote, until I went to China, actually, when I was 17 years old, because that was the first time that anybody had approached these abilities of mine as a gift rather than a curse or an illness. Because growing up here in the West, especially under parents who were not New Age parents and definitely not part of the spiritual community, more scientific, really, I know something was different with me when I was about 2, because that's when we start separating ourselves from our parents and interacting with a social group. And obviously, I was not interacting the same way. And I started to observe my parents saying, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? So really, it was what's wrong with Teal? What's wrong with Teal? Until I was about 17, and my mother got so damn fed up with the Western world that she flew me all the way to another country, where that was the first time that they said, no, this is not an illness. This is an absolute gift, and you have to be able to use these abilities. And they started showing me how to do that, how to cope with it. And then I started seeing them more so like something that could benefit mankind than destroying my own life. But that's a lot of years to live with abilities that you think are illness. Yeah.
Well, you know, once you had that recognition, once you came to that awakening, you know, with the trip, were you then able to look back in hindsight, you know, as you do probably today, and look through your childhood and actually see a lot of indications of where you were seeing your gifts, but you just didn't really know how to frame them or focus?
I didn't know I was any different than anyone else. I think that's really was the major shocker of growing up in my life, was that, oh my gosh, nobody shares this perspective, not anybody that I had known by then. So if nobody shares this perspective, suddenly I'm isolated in this reality where I've got all of this stuff going on that other people don't agree with. So I was aware that things were much different from the get-go. So were my parents. I crap out of them.
So I think one of the questions that I borrow, you know, that we always look at questions we want to use, and one of them says, you know, how is it that you physically see the world?
Okay, so this is it. So basically, I see everything. So if you're standing in the room, to me, nothing looks like a solid object, but it looks like a vibration. So it's sort of the amplitude and frequency of energy is what determines what form energy will express itself in. because everything in the universe is made of moving energy. So that vibration is what makes me a person versus a cup a cup. So I'm actually seeing things as a vibration, as energy, not as solid objects. I'm also able to see auras, and thought forms go along with auras. So that's stuff like ghosts and guides, you know, thought forms. And a lot of paranormal activity happens around me, classic glass shattering, voices coming across, things being thrown across the room. I also see life paths, which means it's a future potential. I see three life paths for all people or all beings when I'm standing in front of them. I also have a hypersensitive sense of hearing, so I can hear tectonic plates moving. And like that, let's say that there's a full moon. We're familiar with the full moon pulling the tides, but what most people don't know is it actually pulls the rock of the earth as well, and it's super deafening to me to the point where sometimes I have to hide myself in a place that isolates me from the sound. I also don't see negative space. So like a lot of people, they look at energy with space in between it. So I see myself and I see the cup in front of me, and in between is just clear. To me, it's not clear. It's just energy fields that are bleeding into one another. There's no negative space in between one thing and another thing. So we're all part of this giant energy field. To go along with that, obviously, most people think that skin is a finite boundary. You know, so like I start at where my skin starts. That's why we're familiar with identifying people based on what their face looks like. But skin is just a certain point of density within the energy field making up a human. So I can see past that. I can see impressions of what's below the skin, like bones, organs, nerves, veins. I can also see energy channels within the body, which is what they used to call meridians. And also, what goes along with a lot of this stuff is that I have synesthesia, which is a neurological condition which comes along with a lot of these extrasensory abilities, which makes it so that when one sensory organ is stimulated, another is stimulated as well. So people who have this synesthesia, they can see sound and taste colors. And when someone claps their hands like that, I actually see that wave across the energy field.
Mm-hmm. So I know normally when I talk to my friend who's a medium, she generally has a lot of problems with kind of shutting down her gift and everything. So she gets a lot of noise and a lot of information coming in. Do you have that problem where you have problems shutting it down, so you're almost always on?
I'm always on, yep. And I went to a lot of people, probably I'd say over 20 people since I was in my teens to try to help me shut it down before I met somebody who I think is one of the most brilliant people that was actually in China when it comes to energy. And what he said is, why are you trying to resist your gifts? Because any type of trying to shut it down is to resist your gifts. And so if you want really to own these gifts, we have to learn how to live with them and not shut them down. And actually my greatest achievement in terms of blending in with society and not being a complete nutcase is when I actually started to embrace it and not wanting to shut it down as much as I did, just sort of find a way to fit in what I'm seeing with day-to-day life so I could blend the two together, not eradicate one so I could switch back and forth.
You had mentioned earlier that more and more children are coming in that are gifted and everything like that. It seems to me that a lot of the children that are being diagnosed with autism or other things like ADD and stuff like that, that a lot of those are just very, very high vibrating gifted children. Is that the same sense you get of it?
Oh, 100%. That's why it's sort of laughable from source perspective that anybody can think these children ill. And we would say, okay, well, we've got to find a way to make it so they're functional so they fit in with our current society. And the whole message from source perspective is that is not the point. The point is that there are so many of these beings coming in now that the whole society has to change to fit and match these sensitive beings. If these beings are sensitive to what they're sensitive to, it's not good for anyone, you know?
I actually want to kind of shift gears for a second and talk about the books and everything that you've been writing. One of the books that came out was, I think it's called Sculptor in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell everybody a little bit about that book? I know if they go to the website, I have the link to the book up there for people to purchase it. So,
yeah, The Sculptor in the Sky, I wanted to present the way that Source views life. I wanted to answer those big questions that everybody's asking. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? how do I find happiness? Those big questions. And happiness being, of course, the major focus, because I called it the sculptor in the sky, because obviously we associate God with having sculpted life here on Earth, and it's the sculptor which is in the sky, literally. But at the end of the book, I actually assert that the sculptor that is in the sky is actually you, your larger consciousness. So it addresses the fact that we are an extension of source energy, an extension of God. And I wanted, the second half of the book is all about happiness. Why happiness is important to these larger questions, like what is the meaning of life, and how you get there. So we tend to downplay the importance of happiness in our day-to-day lives. We think that it's just a happy coincidence or something which is lucky if you trip upon happiness in your life, and most people don't get it long-term. And I assert that, number one, it's the thing you should be going for in your life. Number two, there's great universal implication to doing that. And then how we can go about doing that and live our day-to-day lives at the same time without completely disconnecting and going to live in an ashram.
So I think you have another book that you wrote called, is it called Love Thyself?
It's, well, technically we don't have a title yet, but the one that I wanted to give it was How to Love Yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's as the name implies. If you chase every problem in a person down to the root, that root is self-love. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there and was talking about this concept, the fact that the root of everything is self-love, and I went, wait a minute. Here I am asserting that every illness, every issue we have with our mentality, every issue we have with each other in interpersonal conflict stems from one thing, and that is our relationship with ourselves. And I haven't written that book yet. So after that realization, I sat down and typed this thing out, which is, it's actually a quite large book. It's over 200 pages, and I typed it out in 2 months. And it is now currently with an agent in New York City who is trying to find a publisher for it.
Excellent. Who did you use for your publisher on your first book?
I used Author House.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was not... No, but so here's the thing. The reason I decided to write this book the way it is, How to Love Yourself, really straightforward, is that every spiritual teacher, every self-help professional since the beginning of time has said the same thing. You need to love yourself. And at this point, it's kind of a duh. All right, we know we have to love ourselves. That's great. But I've been living my life for years and years not loving myself. So how the hell do I do that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I wanted this book to be about the how. This is how you love yourself, especially if you're coming from a place of having never loved yourself before.
Mm. I think that's the truth that we see in a lot of spiritual teachings. I found in a lot of my journey that, you know, I can identify through my personal work exactly what it is. And I can get to a place and say, well, okay, I seem to have an issue here where I don't love myself. And then you go around and I can say, all right, well, I've studied with so many different people. It's like no one will teach you how do you self-nurture yourself? How do you love yourself? Like no one teaches that. You know, of course, it's a task to be able to say, you know, that you can identify, okay, well, here is something. Because sometimes that's a lot of the work. It's kind of like, well, if you have abandonment issues, how do you fix that? You know, how do you, you know? So it's very interesting, I think, in a lot of different aspects of spirituality that a lot of the work we do gets us to the point that we can identify and label what it is that we see as something that's impacting the life that we have that's unfolding. But there's not a lot of great tools out there that teach people how to do that. So that's really incredible. So I guess we'll wait and see when the book is actually going to come off the presses, and that'll be really exciting because it's much needed. So the other question we had is why do we hurt the ones that we love?
Hey, what a good tie-in with the last topic. So this is why we hurt the ones we love. Everyone in our lives is a projection of ourselves. And the closer we get to people, the more they reflect us. And so the more we start to treat them like we treat ourselves.
Okay.
I would say it's simple, but that's the answer.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And we're actually packing the switchboard tonight, so this is incredible. And I should have asked you ahead of time. I assume it's okay that you're going to do calls tonight.
I guess the universe does whatever it wants to do with me. So, yeah.
So, let me wrap up a couple of questions so we can get you in and talking to some people, because I know a lot of people are really excited to be able to talk to you. So, the next question I have is, you know, what's next as far as your project work? Like, what are you working on these days? And, you know, where can we go hear you lecture?
We're always working on improving our, you know, the current stuff that we already have. You'll see that in this upcoming Saturday's video. We're upping production value. And also, the things that I'm the most am sort of interested in is the stuff that stems from my company, the TLI company. So we're building up money. So every time I do these workshops, basically, or anytime I do anything where we receive funds from it, that goes into a bank, and it sits there until I find an investment that is in alignment, meaning that it's going to serve the positive direction, sort of positive world change, and then we invest. So it's the investing that I'm the most excited about. We've already invested in a few things. I'm also probably going to start writing eventually here when I get a little bit more time for myself, a book on shadow work, which is perhaps my forte. And we're doing a billboard splash campaign. This actually stemmed from a seizure that I had. Okay, that's a good story, because I was driving on the highway, and we're nearing October, and so this haunted house had this giant, it was probably a 30-foot statue that was holding a life-size replica of a human. It was so gory, and I was watching all these cars go by it, and they were completely desensitized. And by virtue of my childhood, I've still got all these triggers, right? So I ended up actually going into a seizure after seeing this thing, and I woke up out of the seizure, everybody standing around me, and I was like, you know what? That's it. That's all the inspiration I need. If people are going to put this kind of stuff up in society and everybody's going to be desensitized to it, then I'm going to come back at them. So this billboard campaign is that we're going to take my frequency paintings with some sort of a lovely quote which applies to this particular frequency, and we're going to raise enormous amounts of funds, which has already started happening, to put these up in random cities where people are on commute, where they will get stuck next to them. So they're going to be influenced by those images instead of by any number of advertisements or any number of what you could consider like those Halloween decorations. Not so good energies for you to be taking into your body. I'm also going to start a healing modality that people can get certified in, because I've got my own opinions on healing work and energy work, which could be quite fun. And we're doing the workshops, of course, in between. I'm going to be in a different city every other month.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only comment I would have to say, you know, because I definitely see all the different videos you've been putting up there on YouTube, is that it would seem to me that a lot of those could be things that you offer on your website for a certain fee and everything to kind of allow you to enable all these different projects that you're building.
I think that every idea obviously is valid, but I'm a real stickler about the fact that I really want this information to be available to people. And this has always been this thing which we have grappled with. And ironically, it's going exactly the way that I think it goes, which is that if you offer your gift willingly to the world and freely, then abundance flows into your life from absolutely everywhere. And the minute you close down and start charging and limiting where people are getting this stuff is the minute that your abundance slows down. So no matter how much money we make or not make, I think the most important thing is that this information gets around. And so, and the people who need it the most, let's just be honest, they have cut themselves off from their source stream to such a degree that they are not actually in alignment with abundance. So the people that need this the most could not pay for it even if they wanted to. So I'm going to keep a huge amount of my information, the vast majority of it, free for people. And only the workshops and things like that are going to be obviously limited by virtue of people paying.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Because I have to pay for my ticket places and venues, which are quite expensive.
But it sounds like you got a really good balance in place there and some really important lessons. I think a lot of people struggle with either going one way or the other. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people out there that believe that they should charge for everything. And then there's a mm-hmm. lot of people out there who are like, you know what, I have these gifts and, you know, I'm not going to charge anybody for anything. So I think you're teaching a good balance.
Oh, yeah, and it's going well. I have a good vibration relative to finance, that's for sure.
So let me go ahead and go to break, and then we'll start pulling some people in. Alrighty. You're listening to Teal Scott on Spiritual Connections Radio. Actually, before I go into this, why don't you go ahead and give out your website so that people can find out more about the projects and everything you're working on?
My website is www.thespiritualcatalyst.com, but I think the far easier way to find me is to just go to Google and type in Teal Scott. It will be the first thing that pops up in the search results.
Yeah, it actually does with quite a few listings. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, make sure to check out all her great materials up on YouTube. That's a lot of information I found. My friend Kathy actually was the one that turned me on to a lot of your material, and that got me started. And then once I got in, I started watching pretty much everything. So just really love all the work you do. So thank you for that. Such a great gift.
Thank you.
So we're, of course, listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about this show or any other shows. Or if you missed any part of this, you can go back and listen to the show in the archives. It'll be available about 10 minutes after the show is over. And that is off of the website, www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I didn't get a chance. Usually I have a co-host that does the talking while I go screen the callers. So we're going to actually have to start pulling people in and do this without names. So hold on for 1 second, and go ahead and pull. Kathy, you're on with Teal Scott.
Oh, well, hello, Mark. Teal, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How are you today?
It's really fabulous. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I've been listening to your information on the website. You offer such amazing information free to the public, and I really just want to publicly thank you for this.
Thank you. That's really good to hear.
Actually, I just kind of got a text from Mark saying that you were on the radio with him, and I had missed the beginning of the radio show, so I'll have to catch that in the replay. I have not quite got my question for you put together, but I know that you are a medical intuitive, so why don't I just ask you my medical issue? Is that okay with you?
The medical issue?
I have a medical issue. I've had a headache for 13 years, and nobody can figure out what the problem is. So I've been doing a lot of personal work and inner reflection, studying energy medicine, coaching, that kind of thing. Yet I can't seem to tune into my own problem. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Have you done? I actually have a process for this, where you go inside and you give that feeling, whether it's a headache or whatever, an image. So you're interacting with an image. Have you ever done that before?
I have. I have tried to do that.
What comes up?
You know, I get a feeling of moldy, yucky goo coating my brain.
Have you talked with it?
I've tried. I've sat with it in silence many times, and I just can't seem to tune in and listen to it. Sometimes I can tune in and listen to other people's issues, but not this particular one in myself.
So this is going to sound pretty, I know that it's frustrating, because it sounds kind of trick, especially since what we were just barely talking about was the self-love vibration. But when I tune into this particular energy, it is basically the opposite of self-approval. So when I am, even as you're talking, which is why I had you speak a bit, even as you're talking, there's a vibration of extreme criticism. And it's interesting because it's almost like you have been criticizing yourself for so many years that you have turned yourself off to even being aware of the amount that you criticize yourself. So you don't want to accept what is going on there. So your thoughts are feeding into your brain, right? And when those thoughts of self-criticism feed into your brain and you try to tune off to them, you're trying to turn off your emotional guidance system. And when you try to turn off your emotional guidance system and try to turn off to that self-criticism, pretty soon your brain copes by creating extreme pain with that very organ, which is the intermediary between the thought and the rest of your physical daily life. If I was to tell you, self-criticism would be the number one problem here that's behind your headaches.
I wish I could tune into that. I have periods of self-doubt and periods of, I feel pretty good about myself.
Are you sure?
I wish I could access that information more.
Okay.
I just don't know. I haven't been able to tune into that yet.
Have you watched your emotions throughout the day?
Have I watched my emotions?
Yeah.
I journal a lot. I try and figure out, what emotion I'm having and why.
And you happen to identify the self-criticism yet?
Probably feelings of not good enough or not worthy or, all the childhood trauma kind of stuff. But nothing really gives me a strong reaction that, yep, this is the thing that I should dig into.
That's exactly the byproduct of what I was just describing. The fact that when you have been criticizing yourself for so many years that it becomes painful and mm-hmm. you don't feel that, part of you will try to turn that off completely. So it'll feel like there's an emotional disconnect, almost a numbness in between those thoughts and the physical emotions that you're feeling.
Yes, very true. There is a numbness to it. So
yeah. It's just a coping skill. It's you dissociating from those self-criticizing thoughts because they're so painful. And it wasn't an option. It wasn't an option for you growing up to get rid of those painful thoughts because those painful thoughts is what kept you good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what we got to get rid of first is you thinking that that keeps you good, which is actually still a belief you hold.
Okay. So self-criticism keeps me good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I would tell you is that's the noodle to start pulling on. And when you pull that noodle, the rest will follow.
Okay. So just tune more into self-criticism.
Yes. And especially beliefs about self-criticism making you good.
That keeps me good. Huh. Interesting. Yes, I did find as a child that I had to keep very, very good growing up in a neglectful alcoholic household. So I can see where that ties in.
Oh, yeah. See, self-criticism is the only thing that makes me, not my parents. I didn't want to hear it either.
I can hear that, yes. I certainly don't want to be like my parents. And that would be a big trigger when someone says, that's exactly what your mom does. Nobody likes to hear that.
Of course not. So you feel how charged that is? If I'm criticizing myself enough, then I will be good enough that I will not make the same mistakes. I won't be them. That's what's tying you to the problem.
Huh. Interesting. It's phenomenal to physically feel how painful that is. I mean, this is a pretty darn painful headache, and it's been a long, long time. So to have emotion like that cause such physical discomfort is alarming.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just because we downplay the importance and power of thought.
Well, I won't do that anymore. Do you have any suggestions on how to really bring the self-criticism up more?
The number one thing would be to notice it, because when you're in a vibration of sort of observing something, you're outside of the vibration of being inside that self-criticism. So that's the first step. And I want to be very careful with you, because if you're a self-critical person, you're a perfectionist. And if I give you 1.5 million steps here, for you to eradicate self-criticism, you're going to turn that into self-criticism. So I want to just give you one thing so you can really get that down, and then we can move to the next step.
Okay. Then I will just notice what I notice then.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoy the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you. It was good to talk to you.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
bye.
Kathy. All right. All right, I'm going to start doing this way. Area code 732. I'm sorry I didn't get your name. You're on with Teal. Hello. Let's move on to the next one until we get a call there. Hold on. (917) You're on with Teal.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, is this me, 917?
Yeah,
you're on with Teal. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. Thank you. I love both of your work. That's the first thing I'd like to say.
Thank you.
And first of all, before I ask my question, if you don't mind, an idea popped in my head when you mentioned your frequency paintings and billboards. So I'd like to say something first to help you. Basically, I wanted to go to your workshop in Tarrytown, and I got a cold, which I found a little interesting because I don't normally get colds. So I wasn't able to make it, and then I tried to find you and Blake in Central Park, and I had a little trouble finding, and then I saw somebody with a T-shirt that had your frequency painting on it, and that's how I found. And I said, oh, I wish I knew that she was selling T-shirts because this is great. I would wear this T-shirt, and we could be the billboards.
Oh yeah! Oh, I love that idea. In fact, we've been.
Yeah, so I'll be your first big billboard, and I'll get it out there. So I've already. I'll be your billboard. How's that?
Oh, I love that. We're trying to actually find a company that will do that. Right now, we're running into this major issue, which is that T-shirt companies are only going to be able to do these frequency paintings like one at a time, and they're going to be super expensive for the all-over tees, like we want. And they're like most of the companies do bulk orders, so we're gonna have to order like over 1,000 of them.
Well, then you know, I know the multicolor. I know the multicolors create troubles, but you know maybe there's a way. I don't know how you printed that one that I found the person, but hey, great. I'll figure out a way to try to help you. So you know that's number one. And I sent an email to Blake, so I don't want to talk. We could talk a little offline about some other things where I think we may have synergy. As well, but I have one question for you, and I'm not really quite sure if it can be answered or should be answered now, but I'll ask it anyway if you don't mind. I had something happen to me, I believe the date was September 17th, 2005 at 1 a.m. in the morning, and I had an accident happen to me where I lost 11 hours of memory because of the accident, and I still to this day do not know exactly how it happened.
How the accident happened?
Yeah. I don't know if it was my fault or someone else did it to me.
Yeah, well, as far as the universe is concerned, that's totally would be part of why you cannot remember this experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there is a tendency, and I don't know how personal to make this, there's a tendency to project outwards that things can be at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we hold on to feel justified or to feel better. And the real message for you in your life is, how can I let go of the need to have that, to have it be my fault versus somebody else's fault? How can I let go of it and have it just be something that happened where that doesn't matter and it doesn't play into it? It's actually a very, very large spiritual lesson, ironically. It's the same that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's the same that any victim encounters, that type of a spiritual lesson.
I can see from the big picture of the spiritual perspective that that would be the case. And
so what
you
would you do if you knew that it was you?
I'm sorry?
What would you do with it if you knew that it was you?
It's like, okay, well, you know, accidents happen. So the thing is that my gut tells me that it may not have been me. So I don't know. My gut doesn't have a clear answer, and I would, you know, I don't necessarily think that I would necessarily have a huge problem with it being me. It would be like, okay, that's interesting that it was. So, I mean, is there anything you can see without seeing me? You know, either through a thing that you could actually see what it was that happened to me.
No, I would tell you if there was.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on it completely. I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. Okay, because I got an interesting, I did get one interesting message from someone who indicates that they supposedly see things of some sort on base, but that the answer that I got back from them is that you were not going in the right direction in your journey. And I found that a little interesting. That would be a message. It's like it could have been, but I don't know.
I could definitely see that perspective. It is a major wake-up call. It's just that from universal perspective, even if you're stepping off the path of your purpose, that step off the path is still a step on the path.
I see. I understand what you're saying as far as maybe I don't need to know or it's not meant to be that I do know. I don't know. I'm the kind of person who likes to research things until I get the answers, so that's one of it. And, you know, as far as finding, you know, with that aspect, like you're not going in the right direction. I thought I was. I have, you know, well, what I see in front of me, I actually have many options in terms of the types of things that I could be following. And I thought I actually was doing some great things because I started helping getting some messages out there and filming stuff and getting those messages out there. So that's the kind of stuff that I was doing. So, you know, in that same vein, or again, without seeing me in front of you, is there things that you would say that of the different paths that I could be focusing more on that, you know, in terms of trying to go in that correct direction, that you would say, all right, these are the better aspects of, or let me rephrase it, these are the things that would, you know, have sort of resonate more and, you know, would have less of a bumps along the way.
Yes, you continue to be presented with this idea of trusting yourself. I notice even just in this conversation, you get presented by someone telling you you're off the path, but you think you're on the path. You're presented with someone that's telling you maybe it's your fault. You have a gut instinct that it's not your fault. So the major lesson, the major test, if you want to go in the direction of your purpose, is to figure out how to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I'll see you later.
Some powerful lessons coming out for everybody tonight. I love it. Cheryl, you're on with Teal.
Hi. I'm a great fan of your work, and thank you so much for everything you do to help people. And my question for you is regarding my daughter. I know that with some of your work, you have spoken about your son having special abilities. My daughter has been given the label of autism, but in my opinion, she has some healing abilities and things like that. And I kind of would like to know your advice as far as how you think that I could possibly, you know, help her develop her abilities despite the difficulty of there being a language barrier because of the autism.
Hell yeah. The number one thing that you want to do is to develop your abilities, because the only way you're going to communicate in that way without the ability to use language with this person is to use things that are other than language. So to help her to embrace these gifts, you're going to have to learn about them. So have you ever thought about taking a class on energy healing?
Oh, yes, many. I've done many, so.
Well, good, then you're already prepped.
Yeah.
I think the real hard part for people who end up with these types of children is that we kind of come to this crossroads where we ask ourselves, what is it that we're trying to do when we're looking at autism? What we're usually trying to do is to fit them in with the society we currently have. And we're meeting with terrible success because that was never the point. And so it's really going to stretch these parents, yourself included, to come up with alternate ways to allow these people to be themselves, to allow them to do exactly what it is that they are meant to be doing. So you don't want to restrict her at all. You want to watch what her natural abilities are and then enable her to do those any way that you can. And the less that we can think about how she fits in, the less we can think about how she behaves according to normal standards, the better off this relationship is going to go, the better off her life will go. There won't be much for her to resist. So you won't see a lot of those behaviors that we have such a hard time with when it comes to autism. I think one of the best things to do with children that have autism is to, let me think about this. I'm sorry, I'm getting talked to at the same time. This is interesting. I actually have a principal guide in the room with me. All right, so what this principal guide is basically telling me is that it would be a good idea for you to practice with her in terms of actual physical healing. So whenever somebody, if you have like a friend that has an issue and is open to it, have them come over and see what she does on her own. And then maybe suggest something by walking over and showing her how you might think to move the energy and ask her if she thinks that's correct. See what she ends up doing. And you might notice that she innately has an ability which will surface with or without you being in the room to show her how to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, as far as, you know, when she was a young baby, you know, a week or two, you know, I started to notice the energy moving and things like that. And as I was holding her, and that's why that start, you know, really kind of what made me initiate my journey in energy healing was when she was a young baby. So I started doing the Reiki training, and I've gone on to do many, many other different types of training. And, you know, I'm very much, you know, in groups of people, I'm very quick to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with her. She's special and good. She has gifts and, you know, she's here to teach us. And she's very, you know, and even, you know, my family members who aren't very enlightened, they'll say, wow, she's just really in the moment. And you know, so, you know, she definitely makes people think about things. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, despite the fact that, you know, maybe some of the family members aren't as enlightened, they really, sometimes they really kind of open up and just let her do her thing. And sometimes they kind of get on her case and make her do this or that. But she seems to take everything with great stride and is just, you know, a happy little girl. So
that there is definitely their purpose. And it's sort of the issue when we have somebody like that in our families to understand that many times it's serving our own expansion to cause expansion in other people. So you could think of these children as the ultimate catalysts. Their purpose is literally to cause people to confront their own fears and their own limits and their own standards. And some people rise to the occasion, and other people run into their own resistance around her. And that is exactly her doing what she was meant to do. See, she even catalyzed you into your own healing abilities.
Absolutely. And she also, you know, I do put her in regular camps and different activities with, you know, normal peers and things like that. And she's usually actually well-liked by her peers. And, you know, and she does, you know, things do happen. Like there's a goat that doesn't let any of the kids ride the goat except for her. She's the only kid that gets to ride the goat and things like that, so that the other kids kind of really like her.
Well, it sounds like you're doing everything right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Wow, Teal, our switchboard's full. let's see if we can get one more caller in before we wrap up the show. Area code 573, I'm sorry I don't have your name.
My name's Benita. Hi, Teal.
Hi.
Love your work.
Thank you.
Love the Shadow House. Really raw, but really good. I do have a question for you. I've been, most of my life, I've been doing spiritual work, and I can remember even at the age of 5 talking about it, but as I grow older and I went on to do healing work and different modalities, I come up against such resistance from other people, and I find that my ability to handle the negativeness is, I thought I had it fine. I thought I was really had my thoughts trained to not have that impact me, but it seems like the past year, year and a half, it's been more difficult.
Okay, we're going to do something radical. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Next time someone impacts you, I want you to sit in that emotion. The way that I describe that is to sink down into it. So it's the opposite of trying to think positively and pull yourself out of it.
Okay.
I am not even kidding you. You will be blown away at how quickly you can get out of that vibration just by sitting inside of that emotion instead of running away from it by thinking positively. I want you to really feel what it feels like to be totally hit by it in an aspect of non-resistance, complete non-resistance to that hit.
Oh, yeah, I've at times tried to go into that, and it seems like it's so overwhelming. It's almost like I'm picking up their energies. I don't know if it's their energies or it's just me.
No, it's just you.
Okay.
But I promise you, that sort of is a precipice. It seems super overwhelming, and you're at that precipice. But if you let yourself just go past that precipice and say, okay, I don't give a damn whether I die in this emotion,
right,
you'll see that the view on the other side is not bad.
I was surprised in that about 8 years ago, I was going blind from a brain tumor, and I had mm-hmm. some of it removed, but it kind of opened up that sixth chakra, and in my healing work, it was opening up like crazy, but the more work I did and the more that I opened up,
mm-hmm.
the more resistance I think I got from other people, and like, if she's doing it, then why isn't she healed? And I was having massive headaches, and I don't know. You still are human. But they look at me like, why am I not perfect in order?
Because everybody's looking for a perfect leader, and this is part of what you're meant to destroy, is this ridiculously painful idea.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't even get it.
If we expected all teachers to be in a state of perfection, we would be alone in the ballroom.
Yeah.
Because we would not be physically incarnated if we were done evolving. End of story. So this is the thing. For people who are in this experience, knowledge always comes before application. So you will have a spiritual knowledge before you apply it to your life in a way that you can become this vision that we have of spiritually enlightened beings. But we are really here to blow that image to smithereens. Why? Because it separates those that are truly enlightened and spiritual from the rest of the human race. And what do we say? That separation is what is causing all of the disaster you see on planet Earth right now. So if we're going to move into unity, we can no longer maintain this absolute illusion. And we're really putting the power back with the people, saying, look, it doesn't matter whether I'm healed or not healed. I'm going to bounce off of you my perspective, and if there is something within that feels like a nugget of gold to you instead of like dirt to you, then keep it.
All right. Thank you. We're running out of time, Teal, and thank you. And thank you to all the callers and everything that called in. The switchboard is actually completely full right now. It's absolutely incredible. So thank you, Teal, for being on. And as always, and you heard it from a lot of the callers, and you'll hear from me, thank you for all the work you do. I found a lot of information and a lot of teachings and lessons and all the information you shared. So thank you for being on, and it's been a great honor, and have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And we say goodnight to everybody. Thank you.